This is the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Brady throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
The pregame social is the world's largest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
That play fake by Brady. Short drop. Throw for Gronkowski. Makes the grab! Across the goal line! Tumbling in for a Patriots touchdown!
Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Patriots are in Houston to take on Andre Johnson and the Texans.
Smith has the snap. He's in the pocket. He's pressured to his left. Pulls up, throws downfield towards Antonio Holmes. Ball batted toward the key to lead. He's got an interception thanks to Kyle Arrington.
Now, Mark, Paul, and Andy get you ready for the game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.
Thank you, Andy. Welcome to the program, everybody.
Well, I got
to
leave through that other show in a couple minutes. So yeah. I wanted to contribute.
I don't know what's worse, when he whistles or when he does that.
I would say the whistling out later. Is worse than that. All right, you ready to start the show now?
We'll be talking about that guy at some point.
Who's that?
Well, that's the Dante Hightower, whatever you call those in the radio biz, ins, outs, something, where he tells, you know, the Patriots pregame social. And, you know, he's kind of a notable character these weeks.
We can
Is
get
he
to
hurt?
That.
Is he benched?
We can
Does
get to
he
that.
Play? Does he stink?
We can get to all of that. Patriots set to take on the Texans in Houston today, and we're here talking about it with you. You want to jump on board? It's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. The phone number, 855-PATS-500. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. But again, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart coming to you live from Foxborough today. Team down in Houston.
Homecoming day!
Is it a homecoming day? Are they going to wear the Letterman jackets this year?
I don't know, but it is officially homecoming.
J.J. Watt doesn't know that.
Yeah, J.J. Watt playing coy, dumb, whatever you want to call it.
Call it whatever you want, but we can take this all the way back to last year. I mean, the Texans are 2-9. The game they had here, did that game... For the Texans kill
yes.
the yep. Texans franchise? Did the Patriots kill the Texans?
Yeah, I think you could certainly argue that.
I mean,
two blowouts in the course of a month there, and the first one where they were rolling in with their swagalicious on, and it all ended.
It really did, and now this year, I mean, it's a total mess to the point where that franchise needs to start thinking about, you know, new head coach.
Well, a total mess that could work out great for them with the number one overall pick.
Finding the next quarterback, maybe they do that in the draft, I don't know, but they're in a bad place. They're in a very bad place.
I normally am not a big proponent of the one game, you know, does all that, but in this particular case, I think it's impossible not to make that determination. They came in here, like Andy said, you know, with all the momentum and... The most balanced team in football. And when I say balanced, I don't necessarily mean offensively. I mean solid offense with a solid defense, the ability to run the football, ability to throw it a little bit. And the Patriots just made them look silly, and they've never recovered.
And not only that, they said at that time, going into that Week 14 game, which the Patriots won 42-14 here, they were calling it the biggest game in franchise history.
Right.
The biggest game going. How that was, you know, they were gearing up. They were ready to prove to the football world that they were one of the top teams in the AFC, ready to establish themselves as a real contender. They got blown out, and they have never recovered from that point. They have never recovered. They have won three games since that point. Three games since their loss against the Patriots.
And just have never looked anywhere near as impressive as they had been prior to that. You know, one of the wins was the playoff win over Cincinnati that they didn't play particularly well in. You know, Schaub has sort of unraveled, and his career in Houston certainly appears to be over at this point. You had injuries. I think that Brady sort of exposed that. Now, defensively, statistically, they still have solid numbers, but I think Brady sort of exposed that defense as very pedestrian. And the playoff game was more competitive, but not really that much more competitive. It was... 41-28 with some window dressing touchdowns for Houston at the end. But they just could not, they can't stop good offenses. We saw Green Bay really light them up earlier in the year, and everybody thought that was a one-time thing by a great quarterback. But they can't stop great offenses, and I think that when you have that run-first approach, Beadle, Hard to win consistently.
Yeah, I should also note, I didn't count the playoff win that you just mentioned, so that's technically four games. Three regular season wins since the last time these two teams met in the regular season, and they're back at it today in Houston. For the Patriots, let's go back to last week just a little bit and what came out of that game. A big question heading into this game and heading into the rest of the season is, what's Stephen Ridley's role on this offense?
Yeah, it's sort of the elephant in the room. You know, as much as that comeback was historic and long-term ramifications for the Patriots in 2013, I think it perfectly situates you for a bye and perhaps even the number one seed, depending on what happens with Denver and Kansas City moving forward. But then you have this thing, you know, you're number one back and a guy that some people really think you're going to need moving down the stretch just simply cannot hold on to the football. This is three games in a row now that he's lost a fumble, four altogether in the season. He had another one that he lost that wasn't counted as a fumble earlier in the year. It's a real concern, you know, and people keep citing all the other backs that fumble as often as he does without mentioning the fact that they get the ball 100 more times. They have 100 more touches than Ridley. You know, guys like Adrian Peterson and Jamal Charles and Reggie Bush, those guys have all well over 200 in terms of touches, whereas Ridley's at 144.
Plus,
that's a big difference.
That statistic does not give you any indication of the situation when the fumble occurred or how the fumble occurred, because I think he has issues protecting the football. You look at his fumbles this year, Paul. It's not as if there have been a bunch of great plays by defenders, you know, to put their helmet on the ball or to punch that thing out. You look at his fumbles and you say, that's a bad fumble.
Yeah, the second part of what you said is what I really agree with. I think he has issues protecting the football, and I think you're right. You look at the different fumbles. He had the fluke one against Buffalo when he sort of fell down and then he lost it trying to get up. But the other three, I thought he kind of got it tapped out of his hand against Carolina. Polamalu was given credit for this magical play that he made. I didn't think that he did anything overly special on that play against Pittsburgh, but that was the one that was the closest to sort of a good defensive play. This past one, he got hit in the line. I think that he tends to hold the ball high, but parallel to the ground, instead of the high and tight where the ball, you know, the Tiki Barber thing that, you know, we used to talk about a lot. I haven't seen a lot of helmets on the football knocking balls away. I see a lot of hands knocking the ball out of his, and that shouldn't happen to an NFL running back. The whole thing about the timing of the fumbles, well, there is no real good time for a fumble.
It's never a good time.
And everybody talks about that, you know. Well, he fumbled on the first drive of the game the other day. I mean, if there's ever a time to fumble that you can get over it, wouldn't it be that early in the game? But I agree, it was an important fumble. I think fumbles generally, unless they're in blowouts,
maybe
they're all important.
Maybe, yeah, no, I would agree more so on that point, that these are all important. But in a very big game against the Broncos, to fumble early when the team was driving, I thought that was another. I mean, he seems to find really bad times to make his fumbles a lot more important than maybe just an everyday or average fumble.
Yeah, I mean, just as a point of comparison, Thanksgiving morning, Reggie Bush fumbled on the first drive as well, deep in the red zone. And, you know, Detroit ends up winning 40-10. So, I mean, that was a big fumble, too.
Yeah.
You know, I just think fumbles are important. I mean, he had one, I think, you know, back in his rookie year when he ended up being inactive for the AFC Championship game, I think he had one against Denver in that blowout game over Tim Tebow. That, you know, they were killing Denver. And, you know, it was bad for him personally, but it came at a time that wasn't all that important for the game. You know, but for the most part, you lose a fumble in the NFL, it's going to come at a key juncture.
Well, he had the one in the red zone against Carolina.
Carolina red zone, yeah. Huge. I mean, I think people say, like, it seems like every time he fumbles, it's huge. Well, because fumbles are huge.
I pointed to that fumble in the Carolina game as one of the major reasons they lost the game.
Absolutely.
I mean,
huge fumble.
Top of the list when you're thinking about reasons why they were not in a position to win that game and didn't have to have it come down to a last-minute play. Stephen Ridley's fumble was a huge factor in that game. And it sounds cliche, you know, don't turn over the football. You got to protect the football. You can't win games in which you turn it over. When he's turning the ball over, his running ability, which is great. I mean, I think he's a good runner. But it's not worth it. It's not worth it for the fumble.
He's not enough. He's not enough of a difference maker to me to put up with the fact that he can be, a little bit sloppy with ball security at times. And again, I'm going to point to the guys that he's often compared to in terms of his fumbles. And do you see the dynamic element that he adds as opposed to a guy like Jamal Charles or Adrian Peterson?
For me to put up with the fumbles that he has, he would basically have to be Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
For me to say, doesn't matter, just keep putting him out there.
But, you know, to me, it's something that, and I think that Bill's going to go back to him. I think that's, you know, our jumping off point to get into this topic is to what you do with Stephen Ridley. I wouldn't have no problem with sort of turning it over to Shane Vereen. I think that he can be more than just a third down back. I think that he can run it between the tackles. He's not as effective doing that as Ridley is. But I do believe that he allows you to stay in your spread formations and pass and throw with equal efficiency. And I think he can be good enough as a running back. And you're later in the season here, and he's a little bit fresher because he had all that time off. I don't think you'd necessarily run the risk of wearing him down by asking him to run the ball, you know, 12 to 15 times as well as catch it, you know, 5 or 6 times. Whereas early in the year, you might say, we want to be careful. We don't want to give this guy too much. But now I think you need to turn it over. But Ridley, I think that maybe, you know, now you got to put him in sort of a secondary role. I don't want to bench him because I think I might need him at some point. So I don't want to just have him inactive today. I think you need to find a way to get him 5, 6, 7, 8 carries and then hope that he deals with this. Because if he doesn't, then you're basically taking one guy away from your offense. Because if he keeps fumbling, you're going to have to sit him in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say 5 carries is about my limit. You know, I want him at the bottom of the depth chart for the time being, even if it's for just a couple of weeks, to, again, establish that we have some other guys, work the other guys in, because based on what you've seen from Brandon Bolden or LeGarrette Blount, I feel okay with those guys running the football most of the time. I don't think that Stephen Ridley and his fumbling problems are worth putting him in the game. Interesting thing this week that did happen, and we will get more into this game, and we have open lines for you at 855-PATS-500. That's 855-PATS-500.
Yeah, don't take the week off. Just because they're playing the 2-9 right. Texans does not give you guys an excuse for taking this game off.
And send in your emails, webradio@patriots.com.
I can take the game off. You guys can't.
This is a bit of a letdown week.
Yeah, we talked about it before the start of the show. You had two hugely emotional primetime games against Carolina and Denver, and now you're going against the 2-9 Texans. It is a letdown.
It is a little bit. It doesn't have the same feel as it has had in the last few weeks. One interesting thing that I found about all of this was Stephen Ridley reaching out to Kevin Faulk this week. Kevin Faulk, who dealt with a lot of fumble problems early in his career, reached out to maybe get some advice or get some tips from Kevin Faulk. And I'll say this, if Kevin Faulk was fumbling in his second year on a team that was vying to get into the Super Bowl again and had a quarterback that was at the end of it, toward the end of his career, and had a closing window and all of that, I don't think the Patriots of 1999 and 2000 would be putting up with Kevin Faulk fumbles. I think
they didn't.
But so. he had opportunities to fumble the football, and he didn't lose his job. He didn't get cut from the team. I think there's, you get afforded a little bit more of a luxury of being able to make mistakes on bad football teams. That's just kind of the way it goes. And this team can't afford those mistakes.
Yeah, I used to know these numbers by rote, so they're not going to be exact now. But I want to say he had somewhere around the lines of 25 fumbles in his career, somewhere between 20 and 25 fumbles. And 16 of them, I believe, came in his first 6 years. So they dramatically got cut back over the second half of his career. And don't forget, Kevin Faulk is a guy that had a lot of touches in addition to just running the ball. He caught the ball a lot, and he also worked as a return man for various, sometimes more often than others, at various spots in his career as a kick returner and punt returner. But they did slow down. You know, that's another one that people look at it and say Kevin Faulk fumbled just as much, but he dealt with it, and that's why I think there's still hope for Ridley.
Faulk had 9 fumbles, 6 lost in his first 2 seasons with the Patriots. He had a career worst 6-4 lost in 2000. That's Belichick's first year when they went 5-11. Faulk then had 2 seasons where he did not have a fumble after those. So for 2 straight years, he proved that he could hang on to the football. And then he lost 4 in 2003. He lost 4 that season. Then he finished his career without losing a fumble in his final 5 seasons. So there's some years in the middle there that we don't account for. But for the last 5 years of his career, he had figured it out and mentioned keeping the ball in one hand, not switching arms. And I've heard that if you watch Ridley closely, he never takes it out of his right arm. He always clutches it with the right arm. So we'll have to wait and see what happens with Stephen Ridley. But the Texans are a team you can run on. So it should be interesting to see the way the Patriots approach this game today in terms of what they're going to look to do on offense. I think the Texans are 2-9 for a reason. I know that statistically they're middle of the pack in terms of yards allowed and things of that nature, but It's going to be interesting to me to see how the Patriots offense approaches this game today.
Yeah, their run defense is a little bit leaky. Overall, they're excellent in terms of yardage allowed.
11th, right?
No, I think they're
number one.
Oh, it's
the number one defense in the national football. They're number 11 in yards on offense.
Oh, I'm confusing the
two
numbers.
Up until last week, they were a top 10 team in terms of yards on both sides of the football. They have a lot of weird numbers. They don't allow yards, but they give up a lot of points. They give up a lot of points in the red zone. There's numbers that are all over the map.
Yeah, there's one number that illustrates why they give up so many points, and that's minus 12.
Yes.
And that's but the problem with Houston right now, and you can, I know it's simplistic, but we always talk about
again,
this.
Turnovers.
Quarterback play. If you don't get good quarterback play, I don't care how good the rest of your team is, you're not going to win. Matt Schaub set an NFL record for throwing pick sixes in consecutive weeks. When you're putting points on the board for the other team, and by the way, he immediately went out of a game, got hurt, and his replacement, TJ Yates, threw a pick six. So there's another one. I mean, it's hard to give up points when your defense isn't on the field and expect to win games. So you ask how they started a 9-game losing streak? Well, you start giving the ball away and having it wind up in your end zone every week, and you're going to lose. I mean, the winning percentage of teams that allow a return touchdown is really, really bad. And Houston did that. Houston did that every week for a month and a half.
Andy, we were just talking before you came back in, just to get your take quickly on what you think the Patriots should do with Stephen Ridley and how they should handle his workload going forward.
I think it needs to be limited. I think Shane Vereen needs to become the lead back in this passing-based spread offense. Did you talk about the news? Apparently Adam Schefter's reporting that he is going to have a limited role with the team today, if at all.
We did not see that.
Kevin Falk is in Houston, supposedly working with him, trying to do something. So
this makes me more worried than I even was going in, by the way, this whole Kevin Falk angle.
Well, you know, they're boys. You know,
he's in Houston.
He was the veteran here. He lives in Louisiana, so it's a short trip, right?
It's not that far, but it worries me.
Did you guys also, sorry to totally tangent here, Fred Kirsch and Eric were put in the GM's booth. the Texans and media relations or whatever put them in, like, the Nick Caserio booth or whatever the GM's booth is considered.
So they get moved out of there?
I don't know. He said, look for us during the game.
I'll be acting like Cam Neely after a goal, is what Fred Kirsch tweets out.
That's a good one for Fred. I didn't know, A, he knew the Bruins existed, and B, he knew who Cam Neely was. So good for him. Let alone the fact that Neely has a good celebration after goals.
And just to read you that Adam Schefter tweet that Andy just referenced, Adam Schefter tweeting, if Patriots running back Stephen Ridley is active today, which is no sure thing, he is not expected to receive much, if any, in terms of carries.
Can you retweet that with a hashtag PBGS?
Will do, Andy.
Just because it's off my timeline.
What else you got?
Yeah, no, I...
It's off my timeline.
I said it last week. I think Stephen Ridley's days are numbered. I think his career as the lead, it's petering out. I think he's just going down that road. You know, we've talked about it. Paul, you did the story. It was an issue early on at LSU. So now so what are we, like, 7 years? Is this year eight? Whatever this is? So all these people that want to say, Kevin Falk fixed it, and Tiki Barber fixed it, and Adrian Peterson fixed it. Well, you know who didn't? All the guys you're not naming who are now selling cars at their LSU car dealership because they washed out of the league.
You know, guys that, who knows, Monty Ball might be one
now,
of these guys.
Now, it's a little different. I don't know that there are a lot of 1,200-yard backs that have this, like, great season that then wash out quickly thereafter. Great. But, okay, good season,
okay.
Paul. Sorry.
I'm better with that.
But I just, I feel bad about it because I really like him. And even
I love him.
I thought there were some great quotes in Shalice's story from him and Kevin Falk this week. And I feel bad for him. But the bottom line is you can't put the ball on the ground. And I think it's petering out for him. I think he's done.
And it's why Belichick has been so successful, because he's able to ignore the other stuff and just focus on what he feels is best. And he's able to make his decisions sort of. And I know it can come off as cold. And we all, myself included,
he's a cold-hearted snake.
You're just gonna sing 80 songs all show.
I feel it. I don't know. I got a vibe to me today. It's homecoming. Maybe that's it. Homecoming feels like something that's old.
I do know sometimes it comes off as cold-blooded. You know,
I
would certainly put myself in that category. Sometimes I've criticized, but I think it's what allows him to make decisions that are truly what he feels are in the best interest of the team.
But is this one that hard?
Well, I look at Ridley like what you just said, and I have a great affinity for the players that when they screw up, they're accountable. And I have rarely seen a guy as accountable as Ridley was after that Denver game the other night. And I was very impressed by him. And I do like him, just like Andy said. I like him a lot. I did do the draft profile when the Patriots drafted him. I found him very engaging. I thought he was a good guy to deal with right from the very first time I met him. And I had a lot of guys tell me some really good things about this guy as a person. And I was very impressed with him. Now he's just burping openly into the microphone.
Have some respect for the program, it's Andy,
just,
would you?
It's just like Sean Salisbury just popped into the the booth.
I didn't show my wanker.
But there have been guys that have really had a hard time in Patriots games over the past 15 years that I've been here covering the team. And when things go bad, Beadle, they're not all there.
Yeah.
They're not all
there. This guy's been accountable every time. Like, every time he's had one of these fumbles in these games, he's been very accountable.
But I look at this particular game is even different because anybody that's ever played a sport, it doesn't matter how high the level was. Anytime you've ever played on a sport, you've probably been put in a position where something happened because nobody here, I mean, if you guys were all perfect, you probably would be playing at a higher level than you all went to. But there was probably a game that maybe you did something wrong or didn't play as much as you normally do or whatever the reason, and then your team ended up winning, and it didn't feel quite as exciting for you as it might have been. That game against Denver had to be extremely bittersweet for Stephen Ridley because they made an epic comeback that he had absolutely nothing to do with, and his personal feelings were what Andy just said. My career might be petering out right here in New England. This could be the beginning of the end for me. It might be all over. I might never get another chance. But yet at the same time, my team just had an unbelievable win. And he stood there, and he answered all the questions. He took all responsibility, and he was the team guy through and through, talking about how he was rooting for Shane and rooting for Bolden. And, you know, when the offense got it going, you know, I can't put us in that position. I have tremendous respect for that. But at the same time, you can't take any of that into consideration when you're deciding what you're going to do moving forward. I said I would probably give him a lesser role today and give him 5, 6, 7 carries and hope. Because I think you might need him. But Bill says, you know what? It doesn't matter if he holds on to the ball on those 5, 6, 7 carries. I still can't rely on him.
Well, you say he's cold, and he makes the decision whatever's in the best interest of the team. But what if Ridley was another type of guy where he just comes off and he pouts and he doesn't take any responsibility? Doesn't that make that decision easier? I'm saying because he stands up and takes the responsibility, he's a good teammate.
That makes it harder.
That's
my point.
As cold as Bill Belichick is, I'm willing to bet this makes his decision harder on Stephen Ridley.
Sure. I think it makes it harder, but I also actually don't believe it's that hard a decision, in my opinion, because you're a team that is playing tight games in a tight season that has Super Bowl aspirations. I just can't allow him to. As much as I love that he stands up in front of his locker and cares and takes responsibility, I don't want him doing that after, I don't know, the divisional round loss because he fumbled twice, or the Super Bowl loss because he fumbled twice. And it's not something that can even be fixed between now and the Super Bowl. He's had plenty of stretches in his career when he didn't fumble, right? So he could go the next, if you put him in there and hand him the ball, he could go the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month without putting it on the ground.
He fumbled in week one and then didn't fumble again until the Pittsburgh game.
So he didn't fumble again until the divisional round when he cost us the game or whatever it may be.
Just so you know, your whole thing about the two fumbles in divisional round, I think it's absolutely impossible. He will never fumble twice in a game for the Patriots ever again.
That's probably true.
Yeah, that won't happen because he won't have the opportunity to do it.
He may never fumble for the Patriots again.
He may never fumble again. I'm willing to say he will not fumble twice in a game unless it's on the same play.
And unless they have no options. And that's a factor in this, too.
You missed that.
Yes, I heard it.
Edelman fumbled twice in the same play.
Well, he muffed and fumbled. Is a muff exactly the same as a fumble? Do they not have a separate category?
That was kind of like a half a fumble.
Just like
a fumble and a half on that.
That was a fumble just like Holiday's was a fumble and Tony Curtis was a fumble.
That's a little flawed. Yeah. It's kind of like it's flawed where they hand off to the running back and then it's like the quarterback's
and that goes
fumble,
on Manning.
And he's like leads the NFL like 7 fumbles because of that, because of Monty Ball. The other issue here is the depth. You know, the depth of the backfield and the fact that you have Shane Vereen to turn to, you have Brandon Bolden to turn to, you have LeGarrette Blount, who, if you turn to him too often, you might be having the same discussion about him later down the line in terms of fumbles, but you have options here. If you didn't have any options, the discussion might be a little bit different. If it was just, you know, some guy who's ever failed to be productive or your 1,200-yard back who fumbles a lot, okay, you might have a decision. To me, the decision's easier because you have guys, I mean, we talked about it. They may have intended Shane Vereen to be the lead back heading into the season based on what we saw in Buffalo. but he got hurt and he couldn't do it. And the spread offense, and blah, blah, blah.
But after the fumble, that may have been the fumble that ended Stephen Ridley. Except week one, fumble.
He broke his wrist and now I got to go. So
I don't have anybody else.
But I just think for now there's options.
I think it's
Vereen. You're out.
And I know you agree with me because we both love Vereen. I think Vereen needs to be the guy. And you sprinkle in Bolden.
I worry about Vereen, though, being the guy, being an every down type of player, because I worry about his health. Like, I don't want Shane Vereen getting banged up and getting injured. He's a guy that's had injuries in his career.
Are you going to bubble wrap him?
Kinda.
No.
Yes.
You play him until he breaks.
To some degree.
Or proves that he's not going to break.
Andy, I want to make sure that Shane Vereen is healthy in the playoffs. I don't want Shane Vereen getting hurt between now and the playoffs.
Well, what does it matter if he's healthy in the playoffs if he's going to get hurt in the second game?
Because you got something out of him.
He has to prove he can be an NFL player who can win games for you over a long stretch.
Well, I can't pick my spot. That's all fine and good. But I'd rather pick him in the playoffs.
Pick and choose your fights.
Look at the rest of the schedule here. We got five games to go for the Patriots. Do you see them losing any of these games?
See them? No.
I don't either. Yes. Yeah, of course they could.
I think there's a chance.
I mean, they could easily lose at Baltimore.
I think there's a chance.
I think Baltimore will be a rock fight.
Are we fighting for a number one seed? Are we trying to get a bye? If we're doing all that, then Shane Vereen needs to play because he's my best option to win football games.
If it comes down to the difference between a first seed and a second seed, I'm not just going to throw Shane Vereen in there on every down. I'm not going to do it.
I can't play that way.
Well, I don't want to.
Football players play football. It's down the stretch. I need you to play.
I agree with Andy. I don't want to give him, you know, 30 carries. I don't think he's that kind of a player. But I mean, he's healthy. He's still listed on the injury report.
15 to 18 carries and 6 to 8 catches a week.
Yeah,
boom.
Okay, so 18 carries now?
Oh, yeah.
See, I think that's too much.
Oh, well, then let's just put him in bubble wrap. Put him up on the shelf. He's one of those.
I think 20 to 25 touches is not too much.
Hummers?
I think it's a Hummels.
Hummels. Not Hummers. That's something different.
Okay. 855
Pats. Not surprisingly. Andy's venturing off into sex.
Actually, Paul, it's a large military vehicle.
But at least
it's a large military vehicle.
Nah, I won't even say what it.
Dirty-minded man.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Again, send your emails at webradio@patriots.com. If you're on Twitter, make sure you use the hashtag PPGS as you're getting ready for today's game between the Patriots and the Texans. Also, check out the Patriots on Facebook, facebook.com/New England Patriots, and we go to the Poll Center with Darren Hartwell. Darren, what do we got for polls today? What do we have happening over there?
All right, well, the subject of today's poll, the running game, obviously. We've been talking a lot about it. Who will get the most carries at running back today? Vereen, Bolden, Blunt, or Ridley?
I'm going to go Bolden.
I am going to go Vereen.
I'm going to go Vereen.
It's a pretty tight race right now. Who will get the most carries?
Most carries.
Carries, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go Vereen. I'll stick with it.
Yep.
We got 29% for Ridley, Vereen, and Bolden, and then 14% for Blunt. So a lot of...
Blunt, the odd man out in this for some reason.
I didn't think Ridley would get that many votes because he got knocked up.
I didn't think Ridley would get that many votes either, and I'm not surprised about Blunt because he, too, has ball security issues. I think that he came to the Patriots. I think he had 9 fumbles with Tampa Bay, something like that, sticking out to me. And now he's fumbled twice this year in limited duty, so I don't think that he is
Yeah, but his fumble last week was different than... I mean, his was like the Baltimore fumble for
Ridley. I agree.
He got 9, huh?
I agree. It was.
Yeah, what?
He got 9.
He got knocked out.
And they came to enough to reach his hand out and tap the guy, so he was down by contact.
Saved a touchdown.
Which
Saved
was
four
phenomenal,
points.
I thought.
Saved 4 points, right? Didn't that? What? That was a field goal drive, I believe.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Huh,
Saved
yeah.
4 points. Oh, yeah.
So, again, if you're just joining us on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, Patriots take on the Texans today. Ooh. Texans are 2-9. We'll dig more into that matchup. And, again, Adam Schefter of ESPN reporting that if Patriots running back Stephen Ridley is active today, which is no sure thing, he is not expected to receive much, if any, of the carries. So maybe you want to go and check out the Poll Center. And,
why would he be active if that's the plan?
Cast your vote for someone other than Stephen
Ridley.
Maybe
they have 7 guys that are hurt. I don't know.
I guess.
If they had 7 guys that simply can't go, then you make them active and you tell them to sit over there.
Shane Vereen, by the way, among the group of players working out with Moses Cabrera,
which I
found interesting.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. When we come back, we'll get into the keys to the game. That's next.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You've waited all week for it.
No, I can't wait.
Here are Andy and Paul's keys to the game.
Well, we know that Andy likes to get right into the keys to the game, nice and early, likes to get them out there, likes to establish what it is that's going to happen in today's game.
Because I'm often right.
Pat yourself on the back a little harder. So let's get to the keys to the game. What are the keys today? This is a 2-9 Texans team. They're not very good. They do have some statistical, I would call them anomalies, because they're two and nine for a reason. But they do some things well. So what are the keys today for the Patriots?
I'm going to leave all the silly ones to Paul.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go with a simple one. I think it's red zone. You know, they're a bad red zone football team on defense. That is another one of the reasons why limited yards have turned into maximum points. And I think that's the key for the Patriots today is when you get your chances in the red zone, if they do slow you down at all in terms of yards, make sure you capitalize. Make sure you don't kick field goals and give them life. So Gronkowski, get a couple touchdowns, get a couple spikes. Brady can come up and do whatever that yelling thing is he did with him last week that was, you know, totally incomprehensible. So I think that's the key on offense. And then I think the key on defense is I think Chandler Jones could get a couple sacks today. Case Keenum has cleaned up the turnovers a little bit from early in the year with Schaub, but you can still sack him quite a bit and pressure him quite a bit. Now, he's a little athletic, so you got to be careful not to give him plays. But, you know, the controlled pressure from Chandler Jones and take advantage of your red zone chances. Booyah.
Yeah, to me, it's all about getting off to a fast start.
I thought it was the bus showing up.
Well, that's part of it. You want to make sure you focus
that's
for this game.
It's hard to get off to a fast start if you're still in the bus.
I really think that Houston has been competitive in a lot of these games, the way Belichick talked about all week. That's why I think it's important. You get off to a fast start, you get a lead, and you make them realize it's an uphill climb. We're 2-9. What are we really fighting for here? That's how I think you approach it. Offensively, defensively, to me, it comes down to individual matchups. J.J. Watt needs to be dealt with, you know, for the Patriots' offensive line, which has struggled a little bit.
Bill Svitek has to deal with him.
Yeah, he's going to be going against Will Svitek on that side when he's lined up over there.
Will he win that battle?
On the other side, you have a compromised Aqib Talib, who's if he is able to play, is dealing still with the hip problem.
Did you know
against
Andre Johnson had exactly 8 catches for 95 yards both times last year?
I knew he had a good game in one
that
of
was
the games.
Amazing!
I didn't realize he had a good game in both.
Exactly 8 for 95.
So he's having a great season despite the fact that the Texans are miserably out of it. You know, I think those two individuals you need to worry about. But the fast start to me, Beadle, as long as you don't give Houston any reason for hope, I think you win this game easily.
Are you worried about the fast start? You know, we talked all week about a potential trap game and maybe not being quite as up as you should be. And
yes.
And Bill's argument for why you should be up is that, you know, they're basically the same team we saw last year, to which I responded with.
You blew them out twice.
So that's not exactly a reason to get your boys wound up and ready to roll.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's my key. I mean, it is funny. I mean, it is a joke a little bit tongue-in-cheek about, you know, make sure the bus gets there and show up. But to me, give Houston a reason to think they can win this game.
Well, the bus got there because Fred's in the
game. And they're talented enough. They're talented enough, I think, to make life difficult on you. But the minus 12 is a glaring statistic for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots don't generally lose the turnover battle. Even when they spotted Denver 3 last week, they still found a way to win it 4-3 before the game was all said and done. Just, you know, you come and it's going to be tough. This is a trap game. There's no question about it. I know it's a cliche, but you're coming off 2 games against quality opponents in primetime, and now you're going on the road to play a 2-9 team that you killed last year twice when they were, whatever, 11-1.
And killed their franchise.
When you castrated them.
And basically ended the Texans franchise for the time being. Put them on a hiatus. It'd
be very easy for the Patriots to be thinking right now, we don't have to do the same stuff that we did the last 2 weeks. We can just put the helmets out there and win.
I mean, you could argue that they're responsible for Kubiak's stroke.
Well, that is a stretch, Andy. That's a bit of a stretch.
Stressful season that you said started last year.
He will be on the sidelines today. He'll be making a return to the sidelines. He was in the coach's box last week. So he'll be back on the field today. I guess that's a good sign. But this team in
Houston. Is that a stroke of good luck for them?
Oh, Andy, stroke jokes are just not going to fly, man. That's all on you.
If he runs a fake field goal, it'll be a stroke of genius.
Laugh it up.
That's just horrible.
That's good. No, that's good. That's good, Andy. That's great. Just keep making fun of a guy who had a stroke. That's terrific.
It's a mini stroke. He had like a special name for it. It's not looking like JR.
You want to get one? You want to have one?
No.
Okay.
What if I do? You guys can feel free to make jokes about it.
Let's table the
You guys can be brave and I'll be
stroke jokes.
Make jokes about it.
I think we should table the stroke jokes.
Thanks, Andy. That team, though,
with one stroke of the pen, I'll strike it from my agenda.
They've had the Ed Reed signing, let him go. They've had issues at quarterback. They've had issues with their health, of their head coach. It's been a bad year for them at 2-9. And as you said, miserable is a good way to describe the Texans. Did you see these quotes from Andre Johnson last week after the loss against Jacksonville? He says after the game, quote, "We suck. As an offense, that's pretty much it. You're not going to play perfect every single game, but I mean, it's been bad, you know? They were booing us last week. They booed us before. I said it before. If we're not putting good stuff on the field, we ain't giving them nothing to cheer about. They booed. They should boo." He was then asked if his team was the worst in the NFL. He says, "I think our record shows it." Yeah. If you look at our record, yeah, we're the worst team in the NFL.
It is what it is.
We suck.
But through that, 74 catches for 1,000 yards and... Yep. 5 touchdowns. So he's been able to go out and perform, which is kind of what I'm talking about here. This is a team that does have talent. They're just playing terrible football. And you don't want to be the team that they decide, well, this is the week. We put it together. We eliminated those mistakes and we protected the football. And, oh, by the way, maybe we cause a turnover or two and suddenly they come up with a big win at home. Which would certainly take some of the sting
to your list, because he has everything to fight for.
Absolutely.
I mean, a career, yep. You know, his next job, if they draft, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, number one overall, he might be somewhere else. Who knows?
You know, Andy touched on this earlier in the show, Beadle. Think about, generally when you get the teams that are in line for the number one pick, you're dealing with Jacksonville's and, Tampa Bay's and teams that are really struggling. You have Atlanta and Houston that are down the bottom of the NFL standings. Atlanta is the only team that's been eliminated officially from playoffs already. This is a team that was in the NFC Championship last year. Houston, AFC Divisional Playoff last year, and they're in line for the number one pick. Case Keenum's job is to dissuade Rick Smith from taking a quarterback with that top three pick that they're probably going to get. I can do it. I'm your guy. Draft a stud, wide receiver.
Clowney,
to add to that front seven.
Find
a linebacker or find a cornerback. Find somebody that can help this team because you have your quarterback. 8 touchdowns, 2 picks since he took over. The numbers all around are not terrible. Andy mentioned the sack total is a little bit high, and it is. He's been sacked 13 times. Schaub had only been sacked 15 times in, almost 100 more attempts. So, clearly he's taking some negative plays that Schaub wasn't. But he's protecting the football much better than Schaub was.
We will preview this game and go behind enemy lines at 11:45. We'll talk to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. But one of the recipes for success maybe this year against the Patriots has been able to rush with your front four and get some pressure on Tom Brady. This is a team that could probably manage to do that today.
Sure. I mean, people forget or are sort of it's getting cast aside because they are 2-9 and have lost 9 in a row, but J.J. Watt is having a very similar year. The sacks are down, but he leads the NFL in tackles for a loss. He leads the NFL in QB hits. He's a guy that can almost single-handedly ruin a game. And, we saw last week, Von Miller had 2 big plays early where he was a big part of digging that hole that you had to come out of. And you add in the ninja assassin, Antonio Smith, who can also make some plays, also a Pro Bowler. And they have that possibility. Will Svitek making his first start of the year, even though he's a veteran, experienced backup-type guy who started a lot of games for the Falcons. I mean, you could sell yourself. The one thing I would say is it's sort of the old Bill Belichick thing. If you give him just one guy to take away, and I assume the one guy he's going to take away on defense is J.J. Watt, we're not going to let him beat us.
Sure.
And offensively, the one guy you take away is Andre Johnson. We're not going to let you beat us. Not only will you have Tlaib on you, but because he's banged up, we're going to have some safety help there. That said, there's danger there. And that defensive front is pretty good. Obviously, they're number one in yards allowed, and the rush defense actually not quite as good.
Not as good.
But
they're down.
There's fear.
They're down in rush defense. But now if you're coming into the game taking away your top threat in the running game in Ridley, now are you as equipped?
But you're also taking away the Texans' chance to win the turnover battle.
But are you as equipped to handle that, to go against that run defense?
Well, we got an email. Webradio@patriots.com is where you send
email.
Stop
the presses.
We got an email.
Eric from San Gabriel, California writes, "Houston is terrible."
San Gabriel.
Yes, they are.
So why not let Stephen Ridley carry the ball to improve on his fumbling issues? And if he fumbles again today, then we can be done with him once and for all.
But what does that prove if he doesn't fumble today?
It proves that he's played a game and he's protected the football.
In what you people like in baseball like to call a high leverage situation.
Who's you people?
I don't know, that high leverage situation, like that word, that phrasing has come about in like the last year.
There's a lot of that crap that drives me crazy.
But
in all sports.
What does it prove? All right, so he came into the third inning of a blowout
pressure.
Game.
Woo-wee! Pressure.
Got the inactives.
All right, what do we
inactives!
Got here? Let's get
the
inactives.
Name on it.
How come I didn't get
who's the big name?
Stephen Ridley.
Yep.
Yeah!
Stephen Ridley
so
inactive
like
today.
Drama.
You're a bad person.
Wow.
How come I Twitter's
not surprised
not
by that?
All right, so we got Cannon, Dobson, Dennard, Ridley.
I don't have an update.
You got anything else there?
Oh, Beharnes.
Beckett.
Uman, Cannon, Dobson, Ridley, Dennard. Yeah, got them all.
All right. Stephen Ridley, wow. Inactive.
So, Beharnes and Beckett are your other two.
Yep. Your healthy scratches along with the fumbler. The Riddler became the fumbler.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number. 855-PATS-500. Jump on board. We have some open lines for you. Stephen Ridley, inactive.
Have we not talked to Jeff yet or did I
for the
that?
Patriots? We're going to that right now.
Oh.
Inactive today for the Patriots. Stephen Ridley will not be playing today. So Adam Schefter's report was pretty much on the mark. Let's
as
go.
As it often is.
As it often is.
Pretty much always is. When was the last time he had a major F up?
I don't recall. I don't recall.
I can't ever
he
remember.
He does not fumble.
I'll tell you this. I can't ever remember him screwing something up Patriots related.
My Twitter's broken.
I'm sure he has, but I don't ever remember it.
Let's go to the phone lines. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Again, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle coming up at 11:45. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Tremendous. How are you?
How are you?
I'm pretty good, Andy. I'm sort of enjoying the pressure being off a little bit. And hopefully, as a fan, we can just relax a little bit. Maybe the team can play loose and get a nice, convincing W this afternoon.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. I am not expecting a dogfight down to the wire like most of the games we've seen this year. And if it is, then I'm not going to feel good about it.
Yeah, well, I've watched a lot of the Texans games. I mean, they lost outright at home as heavy favorites to the Raiders and to the Jaguars. So it's a team that really doesn't know how to win. So I think it's highly unlikely, especially coming off last week's sort of boost, a shot in the arm with that win over the Broncos for the Patriots. New England's not going to lose the game. That's not going to happen. They will win, but it's just a matter of covering the now 7.5 points. And I'm confident they'll do that.
Yeah, I am 7.5, by the way. That's an interesting little half point there because the Patriots have played a lot of 7-point or under games this year and a lot of them against teams that you wouldn't necessarily have expected that to happen against. So that half point could be interesting.
I'm just going to rattle off the scores of the games that Keenan has lost.
Keenan. Ivory Wayans.
Chase Keenum. Sorry. He took over as the starter on October 20th at Kansas City. 17-16, 27-24, 27-24, 28-23, 13-6. That's the scores.
Those 7 points would have been huge in any of those games.
That's the scores that he's lost by. Before that, there were a couple of blowouts. They lost 30-9 at Baltimore and 34-3 at San Francisco. And then at home, 38-13 in the last game that Schaub started. He got hurt in that game. But they also lost 23-20 in overtime to Seattle. So they're capable of playing right with the big boys.
That's quite interesting, actually.
So these games have been close, despite the fact that they're 2-9. I don't expect it to be close today. I'm laying those points. 7.5, Jeff. I'm laying the points.
Yeah, it just swung up the extra half just this morning. Back to Ridley. If anyone saw the NFL replay on NFL Network, they had a really good shot of Brady coming off the field celebrating after one of the touchdowns, and Ridley was just sort of there by himself. Brady just walked right by him, and it was like Ridley was the most lonely guy in the world.
He was. He was. He had the helmet on top of his head for a while. They were just standing there on the sideline. And I feel bad for him. I really do. But it's all over.
Another nice aspect for Patriots fans of that NFL replay, NBC cameras really got a hold of that Brady Gronk end zone moment celebration there, which is great to see.
That gibberish that Brady was spewing?
I have no idea
exactly.
What he could have been yelling.
And even now, it sort of sets him apart. I don't know if you guys saw last week, ESPN had a pregame feature about the Patriot way with like Bledsoe and Malloy and Ty Law. You're just talking about, the financial, just Patriots will just move on as soon as they can find someone slightly better for a dollar cheaper. And to this day, just that joy of playing the game, that sort of that moment embodied, you just never really saw that from Drew. And it's nice to see that Tom still has it, even after, 13 or 14 years.
Yeah, no, he's an excitable guy. Always has been, Brady. No doubt about that.
Yeah, and I think that is something they feed off of. So that brings us to maybe, I think some of the Patriots fans, myself included, we saw that Auburn-America win yesterday. It's starting to maybe have that feel of that team of destiny, and how great would it be if New England could somehow pull off one more ring in the Brady era this year?
They're certainly in the hunt. They are in the mix, and they are building steam.
All right, Jeff, what's our lock today?
Yeah, it's going to bring us to the Jeff and Vegas Smart Money Play of the Week.
Yeah. Heavens to Betsy!
Well, I heard Kevin Collins was in Houston today. I know they're not letting him into the GM box. I saw some breaking Twitter news, but it's good to see that we can still get the drop done through Matt. Anyhow, guys, bet the house on New England. The half point scares me a little bit. I got New England -7 yesterday. New England winning big, running away, especially in the second half. Lock it in. Total is 48. I might lean under the 48, even though I got burned last week by it. Lock it in.
All right, locked in. Thanks for the call, Jeff. 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500 is the phone number. Gary is in Ohio today. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
What's up, G?
Did y'all have a good Thanksgiving?
Tremendous. Thank you. How about yourself?
Not bad. Been listening to you all week talking about Ridley. When Elian Ax is out and he's not playing, what do y'all think?
I'm not totally surprised, and it's kind of what I got the feeling last week that we are watching a man whose career is sort of petering out is the word I've been using. It's petering out before our eyes here.
Yeah, I know. I think it's a shame, though. He's a good guy. I think we'll probably end up letting him go in the offseason, I would say.
I think there's a chance that you're going down that road, and it's too bad because you're right. He's a good guy. I like him. I like his energy. I like his professionalism. I just don't like his fumbling.
Yeah, like you said earlier, worry about the divisional game. He comes back, he fumbles again.
Yep.
But another thing, I remember last time I talked to y'all, I said we was going to do good, and I think we're going to be in the Super Bowl this time.
Yeah, I made the switch a couple weeks ago on Monday night. I said this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl after I watched what they were able to do on the road, playoff environment, that defense, Carolina. And so I'm on board, and I know Paul is already booking his rooms in the Meadowlands for the Super Bowl. He is checking out where the auxiliary press is going to be in the blizzard at MetLife, and we're all there.
I can't be any colder there than I am right here in this studio today, so...
But I'll enjoy the game. I think we win by 14.
I hear you. More than that. Yeah. Blowout city today.
I'm with you.
Blowed out. Emmitt Smith is going to be using the phrase blowed out.
Blew out.
Enjoy.
All right. Thanks for the call, Gary. 855 Pats 500.
Did you happen to see my guy Dre Holmes had a huge game on Thanksgiving,
yeah,
by the way?
Well, where did that come from? I mean, what's that
Andre Holmes, former practice squad wide receiver who I used to refer to as Dre.
He found a Holmes for himself.
John's in Pittsburgh today. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
So, about everything with Stephen Ridley, I just think everyone should give him some time. Look at what he's done for us last year. And then I just think, like Kevin Falk's situation, I think everything will change around. But I think all major thing we need to work on is getting the defense in order.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you're going to get the defense in order. I think it kind of is what it is to varying degrees at this point. Obviously, health is an issue. You want Dennard on the field as opposed to inactive. But you're managing the roster at this point on defense between the injuries and the guys that are already long gone. I think they can, from week to week, they'll have ups and downs, but this is now going to need to be an offensive-led team at this point.
And we went over the inactives, but we didn't say who that meant was in. Steve Gregory will be back in the lineup, and obviously Tlaib and Arrington were able to at least start the game. So we'll see if they can play a little bit more this week than they were in the last couple, because they've been sort of in and out when they've been in, active.
Yep.
Arrington's been active every game, but Tlaib has been sort of in and out since he's originally suffered that injury. So keep an eye on that secondary. It is a concern. The health of and I think Andy's right. You're going to have to manage that a little bit as you go forward down the stretch here.
And he's not going to be able to sort of take the day off. I mean, Andre Johnson, I'm assuming he's going to be matched up, and I'm assuming he's going to have to work. It's not going to be an easy game for him on any stretch, even if he has help over the top, which I'm assuming he will. He's going to have to fight it out today a little bit with a matchup that I think is good for him in some, you know, the bigger. This isn't Steve Smith, DeSean Jackson. This is sort of in line with what he likes to play, but you don't know the level of that hip and where it's at in terms of 70%, 80%,
90%. Do you 90%? Start Logan Ryan on the outside and keep Arrington inside, or do you go to the normal Arrington outside and, you know, move him inside when Ryan has to come in?
Yeah, I would say it's totally based on what they're lined up in. You know, if I'm sort of prone to a nickel, you know, that's Arrington on the inside. If I'm in more base, then it's Logan Ryan. I mean, Kyle Arrington on the outside.
Yeah, I think this is more of a base game, not
right.
to
sound, then I would have Kyle Arrington.
Because I think that they don't really, I think they'll have Hopkins, and I think they'll use Johnson.
Right.
A guy to keep an eye on today, you know, we'll see if Gregory is tight end Garrett Graham, who I don't know a whole lot about, but I know he's played really well lately. And you look in, you know, I have the stats here, 38 catches, 436 yards with four touchdowns. He's a guy that's been pretty productive for them since Owen Daniels went down with an injury. He's on short-term IR, I believe. So Graham has sort of stepped in there. He was not active last year in the Monday night game, and he's given them another element to that passing game, but it's really two wide receivers. It's Johnson and Hopkins that do all the catching, and then they use the backs as well as Graham.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number on the Ace Ticket Hotline. That's where you can reach us. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and make sure you use the hashtag PPGS as we talk Pats with you. Leading up to today's game between the Patriots and the Texans in Houston, it's the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. We'll go behind enemy lines with John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. That's next.
More Patriots talk coming up next after Paul and Beatles donut break.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
You know the view from New England.
I'm defending the Patriots.
But what about the view from the other side?
It is what it is.
Time now to go behind enemy lines.
Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand alongside Paul Perillo and Andy Hart here on Patriots.com. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number for you on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And we'll get back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. But now we go out to the Ace Ticket Hotline. And John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the line. John, thanks for the time.
My pleasure, guys. Happy holidays.
Same to you.
You too, John.
Today you get Gary Kubiak back on the sidelines. How big of a change is that from where he was last week up in the booth?
He's been in the booth the last two games. The last time he was on the sideline before he had his mini stroke, they were beating Indianapolis 21-3, and then they blew that game, as they have so many during their nine-game losing streak. But, of course, it's not going to make any difference in the outcome of the game. But he's wanted to get back down the sideline where he says the emotion and the excitement are, but it's not going to make a difference. And during their losing streak, they've lost, let's see, the last five by seven or fewer points. And the two he did in the booth, they lost by, let's see, 5-7.
John, you look at those scores, and this looks like a team that still is fighting, even though it's a lost season here. But, you know, obviously one of the big discussions up this way is should the Celtics tank to get a high draft pick. Is there any chance that these Texans pack it in and sort of make a run in the Colts-like fashion for that number one overall pick?
Now, Kubiak's trying to, number one, there's no Andrew Luck. You know, right now there's Jadeveon Clowney, who's had a disappointing year, and then there's Teddy Bridgewater, the quarterback, who's not an Andrew Luck at this point. It isn't going to be. So Gary Kubiak's trying to save his job. He's not going to, because they're going to lose this one. Then they go to play the worst primetime game in NFL history, actually probably worst primetime game of football at any level. That would be Thursday night in Jacksonville, and that would be the game for number one pick. Right now, if the draft were today, Jacksonville would pick first and Houston second, but the Jaguars can finish off the Texans with a sweep. Texans will have a new coach, new systems, new quarterback, and it's inevitable because of what's happened during this season.
John, one guy who it seems hasn't definitely given up is J.J. Watt. And, you know, you look at statistics, and the sacks are a little lower, but statistically it almost seems like he's having as good a year as he had last year. How well has he played, and how frustrating has it been for him that the results haven't been there as a team?
First of all, Watt and Andre Johnson have been their two best players. They miss Arian Foster. He's out. Their Pro Bowl tight end's gone. Both their starting safeties are gone. Inside linebacker's gone. They've been hit hard at a lot of positions. And then Matt Schaub lost his starting job because of an injury after he stunk it up for four games in a row with a pick six. And so they've had multiple changes. And Watt and Andre Johnson have been like beacons because they both played so well. Watt leads the NFL in tackles for loss. He leads the NFL in hits on the quarterback. He has 9.5 sacks. And as you can imagine, the offensive coordinators and the offensive line coaches had an entire off season the game plan for him. They move him around a lot, and but they haven't had leads in the fourth quarter like last year where he could tee off on the quarterback. They're always playing from behind. Quarterbacks usually don't throw much in the fourth quarter, and so he hasn't had as many opportunities to get the quarterback, but he's playing great. Not, last year was the greatest season I've ever seen for any defensive player in history, and I've been watching the league for 37 years. And the thing that impressed me not wasn't leading the league in sacks or having more pass deflections than 27 teams, but it was 39 tackles for no gain or loss against the run. That's what separated him to me. And this year he's still playing great, but he's not posting the kind of sacks that he did.
John, you look at the numbers statistically, and I see that defense is still very highly rated, but they're having a hard time, obviously, winning games. Is it as simple as looking at the turnovers, and is that the reason, you know, for all the losses?
Well, first of all, they've been ranked number one in defense most of the year. They're number one in pass defense. They've been okay against the run, nothing special. But as you guys know, it's a passing league. You're not going to beat somebody with the run anymore. Their problem is last year they forced 29 turnovers and had 5 returns for touchdowns. They forced 8 so far, 8 turnovers. They had 1 return for a touchdown by Brian Cushing in the first game against San Diego when they came back from a 28-7 deficit, won on the last play. So the defense has also been terrible in the red zone. So the Patriots will probably thrown so many long touchdown passes, they won't need to get in the red zone. It's money. I've used this line before, that Texans treat the red zone like tiptoeing through cow petting. And just terrible, and it wasn't the case last year. And it's not just Brian Cushing was out last year, and they still did well in the red zone. Now, Patriot fans don't see that, since Patriots put 83 on them in the 2 games. But against everybody else, they were really good in the red zone.
John, what have your impressions been of Case Keenum as he's taken over here, and what maybe is his ceiling as an NFL quarterback?
He is very popular here because he played at the University of Houston, and he set all kind of NCAA records, and he's an exciting quarterback because he makes a lot of plays after his protection breaks down. He's fearless, and that worked for a while. He did really well early on. And hang on 1 second.
Pause with this interview.
That's a first on the pregame social.
Sorry about that. Member of the 93 Oilers I need to get in touch with for a 20-year anniversary story we're doing. And by the way, Tuesday week, the NFL Network will have a big special on that 93 Oilers team, and their turnaround began, and the controversy began in Foxborough when they came up there 1-4, and they benched Warren Moon for the first time in history. The backup quarterback ran for a touchdown, got hurt. Moon came off the bench, led them to a victory, and they won their last 11. That was a game we know as Baby Gate because their left tackle didn't come to Foxborough so he could be there for the birth of his first kid. But anyway, that's going to be a big deal here because we don't have anything else to write about. I can't remember what y'all asked me last. I apologize.
Well, Case Keenum, can he be the guy? You know, we talked about the high draft pick. Can he be the quarterback of the future?
He started off really well, and he was making touchdown passes on broken plays, and then defense has caught up to him, and he hasn't done squat in the last 2 games. I'll tell you guys an unbelievable stat. During the Texans' 9-game losing streak, they've scored 2 touchdowns in the second half. One came in mop-up duty in a 38-13 loss to St. Louis. The other one came when Watt forced a fumble at the 5-yard line and they had a 5-yard touchdown drive. But their offense has been pathetic in the second half. With Arian Foster out, they have 2 rushing touchdowns. Only Cleveland has fewer. And they can't run the ball inside the red zone or inside the 5. And Ben Tate, the backup's been playing with 4 broken ribs for about 5 weeks now, so he's not anywhere near what he should be. He had only 1 yard on 7 carries last week, so Case Keenum does not have the benefit of a running game that makes the defense bite on the play action fake or makes the bootleg work. So the defense is just forget about the run and get after the quarterback. So Keenum struggled. They need to find out. Can he be the quarterback of the future so they could use that pick on a player like Cloudy, but I think they're going to have to use it on a quarterback without a doubt.
We obviously know how you feel about this game based on your previous comments, but if the Texans were to pull off a stunner here, how would it happen?
Well, somebody would have had to kidnap Brady and Belichick. They would have had to hold the bus. They would have had to hijack the buses, hit them somewhere, and let them go about 4 o'clock. And I've seen the Patriots, so I know that hasn't happened. So unless say, Tom gets a severe case of diarrhea right at the start of the game.
Back to that, those cow patties.
No prayer. That might not even work.
So you're saying there's no chance?
No chance.
No chance. Okay, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. You can, of course, read him in the Houston Chronicle and also catch him on Twitter, McClain_on_NFL. John McClain, thanks for the time.
Thanks, John. I'll talk to you for the writer's mock draft again.
All right, take care. John
One
McClain,
of the best right there. He's classic.
John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us here on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Tom Brady needs a bad case of diarrhea.
And that won't do it. He doesn't think that'll
maybe
do it.
Have a chance.
So the Patriots would literally need to themselves for Houston to have a chance.
There you go. Yeah, that's good, Andy. That's quick. It's quick thinking right there. Proud of you.
He was good.
He was good.
Except when he veered off on that Houston reunion thing.
Well, I think you got a call from somebody in the middle of it.
I think he saw someone.
Yeah, I think somebody walked through.
Yeah, he saw someone, and he had to stop.
Yeah, I do remember that baby gate thing.
I took a chance to go to the bathroom while he was talking about that.
Great.
Behind-the-scene radio.
855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket hotline. We have open lines if you want to jump on board, give your pregame thoughts as we get ready for Patriots-Texans today. Matthew's in California, and he's up next. Hey, Matthew.
What's up, guys?
What's up, Matt?
What's up? So, coming up on last week, I was wondering because they did rush 280 yards. Is this the reason why they activated Silver Silica? He seems pretty big and like he's a big run stuffer. So you think that's like one of the reasons why they activated him to try something new instead of Chris Jones and Matt Milano, but Topolaga and more of and Silica more in the middle.
Yeah, I think you are. You know, that's part of it. Now, Mike Reese also reported that another team was going to sign Silver, going to sign him to their active roster, and the Patriots basically had to decide to do that and keep a guy they've been working with.
Interesting.
Or he'd move on. But you're right. He's a tree stump. You know, 6'2", 325, or whatever it is. He's a stout run-stuffing type body. And I don't think that it was simply a game plan to give up 280 yards against the run last week. I do think they will look to sort of solidify that. And no better way to do that than put a couple Samoans in there.
Yeah. So what else? Who has more yards today, Edelman or Amendola?
Edelman.
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 I have to go with Edelman.
The guy without a groin is struggling to get yards.
All right.
Paul's deep in
Thanks,
thought.
Matthew.
You're waiting for Matthew there. Yeah, no, Matthew dropped off, so we don't have Matthew. No,
Matthew dropped off, or you dropped Matthew off?
Matthew dropped off.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No,
Matthew dropped off.
Because Beetle didn't hit the button. But no, we all said Edelman.
He's got that Felger-like quick trigger where, you know, you pause for 1 second and got to get rid of you.
Yeah, I like that. Don't ever compare him to Felger, though. He might beat you up.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number.
God forbid you want to be a guy who makes like $1 million a year being an a-hole.
That's a good. Must be a good life.
Try to be an a-hole, and people pay you lucratively for it.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
You ponder, what is everyone else going to say? And I'll say the opposite, and it makes $1 million for you.
John writes, can't believe you guys are making this so complicated. It's really simple. Bench the guy. He's talking about Stephen Ridley.
They did.
And I think he wrote this prior to the inactive report, sorry. So I just wanted to read his email anyway. He writes, he stinks, it's a joke, and it's been going on too long. I'll take my chances with just about anyone else. That's Johnny in L.A.
Well, if he stunk, it would be easy. He does not stink.
He does not stink.
He doesn't.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm going to agree with Johnny on this front.
Clearly Bill did, too.
Because you have to take into account the fumbling, and you can't get blindsided, or you can't be blinded by his running ability. Because the fumbles don't make the running ability worth it.
No, I agree 100% with that, but he does not stink.
Well, he stinks because of the fumbles.
If he stunk, you wouldn't have a question. He wouldn't. Yeah. He's a 1,200-yard back. He proved the ability to carry the ball 290 times last year, stay healthy, be durable. I mean, there is a value in that in the National Football League. He does not stink.
I get Beatles' point, though. Part of talent is being able to hold on to the ball.
Oh, hell yeah.
I think everybody says he's good, but this.
Right.
Well, that's means he's only okay.
But if you didn't start with the he's good, but
I'm not going to rail. I'm not going to rail against Johnny for saying this guy stinks, because if you factor in the fumbles and you look at it objectively, he stinks.
So
right now the guy
stinks.
Because if what's your reasoning?
Because he's good if he stays healthy. Like there's an if. There's a value. Danny Amendola wouldn't be in the league if he got hurt and wasn't good when he wasn't hurt.
I think a lot of people say that about Danny Amendola.
I don't think he could
just stay healthy.
Right, but no one says he stinks.
Well,
but staying healthy
is not an ability.
Okay, there is a difference
between holding on to the ball is an ability.
I think staying healthy is an ability.
That's a skill.
Wes Welker has the ability to stay healthy despite a pounding.
But that's not something he can control, okay? I'm not sure Danny Amendola can control whether or not he is injured on a particular hit, because some people are just made differently than others, okay?
Correct.
So that's not a skill that you craft and you work on to say, that's my skill. I don't get hurt. That's not a skill. That doesn't get you anything.
Oh, there's some skill involved.
I think some people feel, including myself, that I almost feel bad for Danny Amendola that he has all these injuries, because I don't think it's something that he's doing wrong.
Right. I feel bad for him too.
But I think Stephen Ridley is doing something wrong. He's not protecting the football. That's a skill that you evaluate a player on.
If Danny Amendola sucked when he got on the field, the fact that he's hurt all the time, he'd wash out of the league. He'd be Rozai Dowling. He'd be whoever.
He might still wash out of the league.
And he might, but he would have before this. Now, Stephen Ridley would wash out of the league
completely
if he fumbled all the
situations.
Time and didn't actually produce and didn't have stretches where he was your best back.
If you're evaluating talent, you are not evaluating talent based on injuries.
Rozai Dowling would not have been the number 33 pick in the draft for me.
I'm talking about in terms of player acquisitions, you take that into account because the guy's no good to you if he can't get on the field.
Right.
But in terms of, is he a talented player? You don't look at the injuries. You look at what their skills are and what they can do.
I do. I think everybody does, and you should.
I think they're different.
I think it's
things.
Why people are now criticizing, you know, when Gronkowski's hurt, well, maybe it wasn't a value pick. You took a guy and took a chance at a blah, blah, blah. Health is part of a guy's package.
If you're angry that Danny Amendola is not on the field, you don't get mad at Danny Amendola. Be mad at the team for choosing him as the player to sign.
Sure.
Stephen Ridley, if he's fumbling, you blame Stephen Ridley.
Sure.
Well, I think there's a difference there.
I think there's a difference. No one is blaming him.
It's the assertion that he, quote, sucks. He does not suck.
I don't think he sucks.
So therefore, it's not an easy decision.
I don't think he does either. But
if he sucked, it would be an easy decision.
I'm saying it's not unfair for Johnny to have the opinion that a guy stinks because he's factoring in the fumbles.
I think he can be an idiot if he wants. He can say a guy rushed for 1,200 yards, averages 4 yards a carry, averages 4.5 yards a carry for a month straight, scores 5 straight games, scores a dozen touchdowns last year, has 7 this year. To say that sucks is one of the more moronic statements I've ever heard.
He didn't say sucks. He said stinks.
Stinks, sucks, same word.
Yeah,
I think that's moronic.
I think the guy doesn't know football.
I don't think it's that harsh.
I don't think he stinks. I don't. I never have. I've always been a huge fan. I also think that the aura of Ridley when he's not fumbling is a lot greater than it actually is.
I agree with that, too.
I think, you know, Fred Kurish likes to call him a difference-making running back in this offense.
I don't
believe that for a second. I don't believe he offers what I thought he did offer. Going into last year, I was extremely excited to see him replace Benny because I thought he was a much more dynamic version of Benny.
He is.
He's been more dynamic, but not much more.
Joe in Indy writes in, I understand why Ridley isn't active, but I do hope he gets a chance to fix these problems. I would absolutely hate to see him wearing green next season.
I think you should want to see him wearing green.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind getting an opportunity to cause a fumble or two, you know, twice a year.
Sometimes not even cause them, just recover them. Buffalo.
Danny writes in. True. Danny from Spain writes, for me... Hey, hi there, guys. Starts with hi there, guys.
Hola, mi amigo.
There you go.
Is this the guy on the walkabout at the cafe?
I believe it is.
Oh, nice.
I believe it is Danny in Spain.
Is he still walking?
Danny writes, from the start of almost near the start of the season, Houston's been without their best weapon. That would be Arian Foster. But do you think Ben Tate can kind of fill in and do a nice job for him against the Patriots today? We just talked about the Patriots giving up 280 yards on the ground last week. That's not a part of your game plan to get gashed that bad. What does Ben Tate do today?
I don't know. It's 279 more yards than he had last week. He had a single yard last week.
Yeah, John McClain just went through that. The 4 broken ribs, I think, are going to prevent him from doing what Knowshon Moreno did to you last week. Plus, I don't think the Patriots are going to go as light in the box as they did last week. This is a running team. They're not going to, you know, it's not Peyton Manning on the other side. So I'd be surprised. I think Tate is a pretty good back. And you see, you know, he's been a reasonable replication of Arian Foster, you know, since he went out. He has about the same amount of carries, a couple more yards. Their averages are roughly the same. 4.2 is not a bad average. He's a solid running back. He's nothing special. I think he's like Ridley, to be honest with you. I don't think he's a difference maker. I think he's a solid guy.
We have an email from Nathan. Nathan from Southern California, who is a professor, by the way, of biological sciences at Cal Poly, just in case you're wondering. This is maybe the smartest person ever listening to this show.
No.
Doesn't even put him in the top 10.
We have rocket scientists.
Really?
Literally rocket scientists. Yes.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
We have a guy who's an expert on fracking.
I put Nathan near the top of the list.
He might be in the conversation.
Well,
but
Nathan,
he's not by
Nathan
far
has an email smart. That I know Andy Hart is going to love. You're going to actually love this email.
Is this sarcasm or?
No, you really are. Okay. Because he's ragging on a media member that you love to rag on.
It's a long
You want to take a guess? You want to take a guess which one?
Rappaport?
Grassfeet? Yes.
Yes.
Nathan writes in, "Hey guys, just woke up and I'm ready for some football." And I read this because he does have a serious question for you. Just woke up and I'm ready for some football. I turned on NFL Network and Ian Crappaport said, quote, "All indications are that Gronk is going to play. I had no idea that him playing was ever in any question. It was reported that he's dealing with issues with his forearm and groin. Can you guys confirm any of this? I thought he was back and didn't think that he'd have any injuries."
Well, he's been listed on the injury report with three injuries, one of which is hamstring.
A groin
would be a new question. But, you know, I didn't believe, and we joked off the air that the notebook in the Boston Globe today said, "Dennard out, Gronkowski questionable," like it was a story. He's been questionable since he came back.
But again, I'm with Nathan. Was this ever in doubt?
Well, unless he now has a groin injury in addition to the hamstring back.
Maybe he meant hamstring.
But, there was no doubt in my mind or anyone's mind around here, in my opinion, that Gronkowski was going to be on the field.
Listen, you guys know that I hold the crap sheet in.
Yeah.
Lower regard probably than anybody on the planet. Okay?
Really?
I didn't know
any
that.
Person?
Well,
know
you know,
that.
in this realm.
Oh, okay. Not like murderers, rapists,
no.
or anything.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's above those guys.
Like Winston.
But I find it interesting that he put that out there, because I agree. I had no inkling whatsoever that it was ever in question whether or not he'd play.
So you think it was maybe closer to him not playing than we would have ever known?
Or I, you know,
didn't
maybe
see any tweets about like,
maybe
workouts.
Maybe it wasn't close to him not playing, but maybe he's a little bit more physically compromised than we know.
Maybe.
And maybe people were talking to him and making that. Andy, I'm going to also bring up something you mentioned about one of the local papers, the Globe, had the report about Dennard being downgraded from Friday. He didn't make the trip.
Right.
So he was downgraded. The headline said something like, "Dennard out, Gronkowski questionable," as if to say those two things were sort of
equal news.
Equal.
Got it. Damn, dual headline.
So I wonder if maybe there has been some talk, quiet talk, that Gronk is really dealing with something, beyond what we know about.
Allow me to
better
finish.
Put him in bubble wrap, too, with Vereen.
Finish Nathan's email. Nathan writes, "In other thoughts, I love the idea of Vereen taking over as the back, but he's too small and fragile to take on the bulk of the load.
No,
he is best as a third down back." Love that thought, Nathan. "Lastly, if the Texans get up for any game, it will be this game. I think that if they're honest with themselves, they know the Pats are the ones responsible for bringing them down to earth, and it would be a big morale boost for the team and coaches to beat the Pats today." There could be some truth to that. I mean, this is the team that basically derailed their franchise. Remember, babe, we talked about it earlier. I'm not sure if you're in the room. Biggest game in franchise history coming up to Foxborough, the Letterman Jackets, all that nonsense. They lose that game. They lose in the playoffs to the Patriots, and they've won two games this year.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got some extra motivation.
Do you really think they look at it that way?
No.
This is the team that ruined
us. But you
us.
Never know.
Like, they're the Buster Douglas.
I think if they can come out of the first quarter today and they're in the game, I think they'll play hard.
But you mentioned guys.
I think if the Patriots can get a, you know, get up and get out in front, I think that they'll pack up their bags and go home.
Like J.J. Watt. Like J.J. Watt strikes me.
He'll play hard.
Already know that he's a dangerous player in this game. I think he'll play hard. I think if there's a guy on that defense that says, yeah, these were the guys that beat us last year in the playoffs. These guys, they owned us twice last year. I think he has all the motivation in the world to try and play well.
And you
today.
Look at that front seven. Some of those guys weren't available. You know, Brooks Reed, I think, missed a game. I can't remember if they missed both games, but they had some guys up front that weren't able. You know, they have different guys that can rush the passer. Merciless, as Andy said, the ninja. Who knows if some of these guys, all it takes is one. You know, you get a blindside strip sack or something that gives you some free points, and now suddenly they think they're in the game. I don't think it's going to happen. I'm trying to come up with I'm trying to do something that John McClain couldn't. I'm trying to come up with So you're saying there's a chance, and I'm giving you a chance scenario.
And
I don't think it will happen.
What's the likelihood that the Patriots, because turnovers would be one of them.
Yes.
What's the likelihood 2 weeks in a row the Patriots poop themselves in terms of turnovers?
But you're dealing with an offensive line that's now down to its third tackle.
But
it's been problematic at times throughout the season.
But their third tackle is, you know, a veteran starter. You don't expect him to just poop himself.
No, but he's still your third tackle. I mean, he's
not in my mind.
It's not like he's a stalwart.
I think he's better than Cannon.
Well, maybe he is. Maybe he is.
Let's go back to the emails. More of them coming in. Webradio@patriots.com.
Once again, Andy thinks he knows more than Bill.
Mike in Rhode Island goes off the rails here. This email
is what it is. Had he listened to me, he'd have Robert Quinn, the defensive
Mike
player.
Mike writes, with Dobson out and Boyce in, will we finally unleash the beast that is Josh Boyce? I predict you'll have 8 catches for 130 yards.
I will bet you anything you want that doesn't happen. Now, you could sell me on he'll have 2 for 130 because one of them is a 90-yard touchdown or something ridiculous.
Yep.
But no way in hell does he have 8 catches.
855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855.
How was that random soundbite in the middle of the show?
That was a wrong buzzer.
Okay. Oh, okay.
That went over well. 855-PATS-500.
At least he's trying.
Is the fun? No, I appreciate the
A
effort.
A for
Matt.
Effort. F for execution.
Good effort.
He got the Jeff in Vegas drop in appropriately.
Right.
Unlike,
remember last week we had dead air, yeah. Dead air. Wait for it. It's coming.
You know, because he was overwhelmed. Remember?
Well, now that guy is taking photos of the little black rubber pellets they're using to fill in the holes on the turf at Reliant.
Let's go.
And I still don't understand it. Why? Maybe one of the scientists can chime in.
To that.
Why
are
we using black
that.
Rubber pellets on real turf? Shouldn't it be a sand mixture? I've seen at other places. They use some sort of sand mixture.
That's great, Andy.
I can't take you seriously with that.
Brad, Brad's in Australia.
Hey, Brad. Good night, mate.
Brad, how are you?
Good night, fellas. How you doing?
Doing well.
Doing all right.
I just letting you guys know we're here outside, warm temperature, drinking beers, 3:30 in the morning.
What kind of beer? What kind of beer is it?
Oh, Vicky's Black.
What is it?
Foster's.
No, Foster's is their cheap beer. It's Vicky's Black or Black Vicky's.
Bitters or something.
Yeah, that's right. VB, Andy, VB.
VB.
Is that what you have today? So are those the
Wait, why are you outside? How are you going to watch the game?
We got a TV set up out here with the couches.
Oh, nice.
That's nice.
Now, is it dangerous in Australia to be outside? Are they going to be like kangaroos bouncing off your head and stuff?
Yeah, there is kangaroos jumping around, but it's not dangerous. It's all right, they're trained.
Koala bears, do they give you trouble?
Yeah, koala bears.
A big eucalyptus tree out in the backyard.
Koala bears look like one of those animals that look cute, but they could be vicious.
They can be. They're actually nasty if they get onto you. But
It's how it always is. They look cute, but they have a dark side. Now you have a campfire going? I'm intrigued by this.
No fire. It's warm. It's warm here.
Well, still, though, it adds atmosphere. You don't have to sit right next to it.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You build a lot of fires in the middle of the day when it's like 90 in the middle of the summer?
I have a bonfire every 4th of July. Whoa. Massive.
Well, what's your temperature there at Celsius-wise?
About 30.
Yeah. 30, which comes out to
like 100.
86 here.
Oh, okay. Do you have a translator for that?
No.
I'm going that's pretty
higher.
Cool, though.
It's warm, yeah. It's nice to sit out here and watch it on TV outside, drink some beers. Good fun.
Now, you don't have to work tomorrow?
Boy, I'd love to do that.
No,
Harwell's
no,
taking on that translation now, I bet.
That's a good get. You're in Australia, nice climate, got kangaroos 86. Hopping on by. It's 86 degrees, you got a couple VBs in you, and you're watching your favorite team play football.
Right. Boy, would I love to do that.
That's right. I ask for Mondays off so that I can watch 86. Patriots play every Sunday night.
You take every Monday off?
Every Monday off, that's right.
You are a dedicated Patriots fan halfway around the world.
I would really love to do that.
Well, you're the fan of the week.
What do you think about today's game,
I don't have
game,
to do
Brad.
The game and I can still take Mondays off? That would be great.
Let's get your thoughts on today's game.
I'm worried, Beetle. I'm worried. Tell me I shouldn't be worried.
You shouldn't be worried.
There
is
nothing
to
be worried, Brad.
Did you not hear John McClain, who covers the other team, and said unless Brady gets kidnapped and or has massive diarrhea boutage, that there's no chance?
Brad, there's always a chance that you just lay an egg and you play a very bad game, but you're so much better than this team.
My key to the game is the O-line. If the O-line can't protect Brady, J.J. Watt is going to have a field day. And if that happens, I'm worried. But if they can protect him, I think we'll be fine.
I agree. No, I think J.J. Watt is the one way you lose, and not even just the pressure, is if he hurts Brady with one of his hits.
See, I think Brady can beat the pressure against this team. I really think they do. Because
they are a blitzing-based team.
If you look at the scouting, if you look at some of these scouting reports that have been put together on the Texans, they like to play off the line of scrimmage. So all that underneath stuff will probably be open for you to get rid of the ball quick. So
by Shane Vereen, another big day as long as he's not in bubble wrap.
Whether it be Rob Gronkowski or Shane Vereen or Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, all those guys can run those routes, and we'll see what they can do.
DJ Williams.
And they did all that damage last year.
He has to get rid of the ball quick.
Yep. That's why he won't let J.J. Watt get to him, won't let him
sniff Brad, don't worry. This one, I think, is going to be over early. And then if you have a lead at the half, you know, based on the way they've played in the second half, Houston.
They're going to pack it in.
Houston's only got two touchdowns in the second half during their nine-game losing streak.
Yep.
Two only in the second half.
Yeah.
Two touchdowns they've scored in the second half, according to
John
McClain.
I'm not worried.
You should not be worried.
Don't worry, Brad.
Go have another VB, pet a koala bear. Maybe start a fire. Yep. I think you need a fire for atmosphere.
Brad, North America apologizes for Andy.
Patriots 31, Texans 17.
All right, we got to bounce like a kangaroo. See ya.
Thanks, Brad.
See
you guys. Oh, man. Andy.
One of these days I'm going to come across somebody who's not good-natured.
It seems like everyone that calls from Australia, though,
are nice
people.
Don't you want to go to Australia?
They all have a good sense of humor about it. They know Andy's an idiot. It's great.
But based on everything we've gotten from Australia, doesn't it seem like a place you'd want to go?
I want to be there. Yeah. I want to be there
with Brad in Australia. I would not look forward to the trip.
No, me neither.
But that's why I would love to go to Australia. That's
until they come up with those tubes that are going to send you places in like 2 minutes, I ain't doing it.
Silvio is in San Diego. Hey, Silvio.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have two NFL rules questions.
Paul will answer them. Go, Paul.
Okay. I'll try.
The first, I thought it was illegal to use the field as a prop. So if that's the case, how come it's not illegal to dunk the ball over the goalpost?
I don't know. It's a
good question. Field as a prop.
Or the ball as a prop. You can't use the ball
as a prop.
Now, I will say, there's been a lot of talk about the Jimmy Graham one on the Thursday night game. I think when you damage the field in a celebration, that could be a delay a game penalty.
When a guy needs to bring a level and a ladder out,
it delayed the game.
You delayed the game.
But you know, it's sort of irrelevant. It didn't. You know, it's not going to take away the touchdown. It would have been a celebration penalty at
the
most.
I think the celebration penalties should be eliminated.
I do too.
But when you do something like tilt the goalpost down and you stop the game, that should be a flag.
Right.
5 yard delay.
That should be a flag.
Now, that may be, and I haven't looked at the rule. I don't have the rule book in front of me. That may be one of those that is specifically allowed under the rules. Like the Lambeau leap is specifically allowed.
But you can spike the ball, and that's all that is spiking the ball over the goalpost.
Yeah, but you did bend the goalpost.
No. That's still, but you know, you're dealing with Beatles sets, and I agree.
If you actually delay the game, it should be a delay penalty.
If you
get up there, you should be able to do it.
But if you just dunk it over the goalpost and the ball goes away and there's nothing wrong with the goalpost, I don't think that's a penalty.
Sylvia, what's the other question?
Sometimes when the timeout is called, the referee says it's a 30-second timeout.
How do they
distinguish when it is a 30-second when it's not?
I have no idea. It's a great question. Maybe we can try to look that up and answer it on the air during the remainder of the show.
Is that not TV-related? I thought it was kind of TV-related.
It probably has something to do with the proximity of breaks.
If they're staying at the game, I think it's a 30-second timeout.
I think it might have something to do with how long it's been since the last break, too. I don't know.
That guy with the big orange gloves decides?
All right, I got it here.
All right.
Cool. Timeouts shall be 30 seconds in length when the designated number of television commercials has been exhausted in a quarter.
Yeah, see, it's a TV issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Once they have no commercials to play, it's quick 30.
Okay. Thanks,
all right. Good job.
You were far more successful answering that one.
Good stuff, Sylvia.
Good job in the poll center over there.
Darren,
speaking of the
excellent
poll
job. We're going there right now. Darren, what do we got in the poll center?
All right. We got another question up here. Looking at individual matchups.
I'm pulling an Andy right now.
Wow, you bored him with your poll. He's going to the bathroom.
All right. Tlaib versus who? Okay, the question is,
it's important to read the question.
Who is?
Let's start over. Let's start over. Timeout. Right. Let's go to Darren Hartwell in the poll center. Darren, what do we have?
Thanks. What is the most important matchup in today's game? So we got Tlaib versus Andre Johnson, Svitek versus J.J. Watt, Ben Tate versus the Patriots defensive line, or Gronk versus the Texans linebackers?
Svitek versus Watt.
Yeah, I'm saying Svitek versus Watt.
Svitek!
If he lets him run away or kills him, that could kill Brady, could kill the game. Everything else you can get by.
Right now, Gronk versus the linebackers is the most receiving votes.
Very strange day today in the polls. They're not really going the direction.
We can't predict them today. Tough day to predict the polls. 855-PATS-500 is the phone number, 855-PATS-500. Jump on board. Email webradio@patriots.com. Keep using that hashtag, PPGS. We need to get to the Sunday six-pack. We have some picks to make. Also going to check in with Eric Scalavino down in Houston. We'll go inside the press box with him in just a few moments. And also, speaking of rules, the other night we want to touch on Mike Tomlin running onto the field. We'll do all of that coming up next.
You're listening to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart, only on the Patriots Facebook page.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Nothing like cracking open a six-pack Andy, Paul, and Mark pick six games against the spread. And just like your favorite beer, these guys are ice cold.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Time for the Sunday Six Pack.
All right, time to pick some games. Welcome back to the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Darren Hartwell taking care of things in the poll center. And Matt LePan on the board today, running the show, doing a fine job.
Fine job.
I got to say, Kevin Collins, look out.
He's got my vote.
Look out. Kevin Collins might get replaced.
Love it.
Wally Pipped. But let's get to the six-pack and get to what we've got.
Was Wally Pipp any good? I mean, I know who Wally Pipp was, but was he good? And just got replaced by someone who was great? Because if so, then Kevin will not be getting Wally Pipped.
And do you have to die at the end of the story? You have to get like a bad disease.
That was just a long way of me taking a shot at Kevin.
I'm all for taking shots at Kevin.
Wally Pipp was a career 281 hitter.
See, Kevin was not Wally Pipped then.
Yeah, I mean,
too good.
He was Mendoza.
I think you guys are overestimating how good I am, too.
Oh, no, we're not.
No, come on.
We're just comparing you.
Take the damn compliment, would you?
Go ahead.
All right, you're functional. Well, we'll start off with the standings. Leading the way, 27-26, would be Paul Perillo.
500.
Despite the fact that I'm miserable in every other picking contest.
Yes.
Then we have Mark at 25-28.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, 23-30.
I'm coming.
Very close.
Coming.
Very tight all the way through. All right, what do we got for games this week?
We'll start off with a game at Kansas City. Denver goes to Kansas City, giving up 5.
Denver will win this game. Tough place to play, but, you know, when the other team's defense doesn't have its best players and they're not that good to start with, Broncos get it done.
I'm going to take KC in that one.
Yes.
I'm going to take Denver. No Houston. Ali is in, but not sure how much he's going to be able to do. I think Denver bounces back. I think they're tougher than they showed last week. I think they bounce back.
All right, next we go to the Meadowlands, where the Jets will take on the Miami Dolphins in the AFC East matchup. Jets, 2-point favorites.
I'll take the Dolphins.
I'll take the Dolphins.
I'll take the Jets. Two crap teams. I like to go with the home team in those situations.
That is the Paul Perillo rule.
Next, we go up to the land up north. We go to Toronto. Buffalo takes on Atlanta. Buffalo, 3-point favorite.
I'll take Atlanta. Bills have never won in Toronto. Yep. They never will again.
Bills are a 3-point favorite?
Yes.
That's a tough one. Crap teams. Gonna take the home. I'm going to take the Paul Perillo rule there. And give Buffalo the
I picked up another game.
I am going to take Buffalo as well. I think Atlanta has packed it in. I think Buffalo's still playing hard with a rookie quarterback and a rookie coach.
There we go now out to San Diego. San Diego, Cincinnati. San Diego, 1-point favorites.
I never like buying into the San Diego Chargers in the month of November. I just don't like doing it. But today I will. They're at home. I'll take the Chargers.
Plus it's December.
Yeah, don't they usually have a good? Right. Don't they usually have a good?
Oh, late season.
But
it
don't
all
the Chargers
applies.
Usually have a good record late? They usually dig themselves a bit. I think you have that backwards.
Is it backwards?
However, I am going to take.
I saw a stat last week about their late season records.
I am going to take the Natty. I think that they finally win a game that maybe not a lot of people expect them to win. I think
What's
they finally find a way.
Be a 1-point spread. San Diego giving up a point.
I'll take Cincinnati.
Cincinnati for Andy and Paul.
All right,
San Diego for the Beetle.
We go to Monday night. I got it right next to me.
Okay,
all right, okay.
We
go to Monday night. Now you're yelling at him.
Hey, relax.
I don't believe I yelled at him. Poll Center, can we get a ruling on that?
Don't believe he yelled at
him. Philip Rivers was 19-15 in November in his career.
Now we go to Monday night.
A little better than 500.
Drew Brees, Sean Payton, and the Saints go up to Seattle. Seattle, 5-point favorite.
It's a great game.
Seattle.
Seattle at home, Saints on the road. I'll take Seattle.
Seattle. Blowed out.
All right, and finally, today's Patriots game.
How many games is
Patriots
this?
At Houston.
Bet it's 6.
Patriots, 7.5-point favorites.
Pats.
Pats big. Pats. 35-13.
Pats big. We talked about all the reasons just too much. And John McClain, if anybody was lingering, thinking about taking the points, I think he eliminated that as a possibility.
I can report that I saw Tom Brady warming up on TV, so he has not been kidnapped and does not appear to have diarrhea. So John McClain
Did
says
you
there's
see
no
his game pants?
Up early.
He could have had brown game pants. Little poopy. Had a little Tex-Mex last night.
855-PATS-500.
Remember that one day, Paul, at camp where he went into the Port-a-John and he must have been in there for 20, 25 minutes? I actually thought
and
he
was,
like,
completely fixated on it? Yes, I do remember.
I thought it was remarkable to watch Tom Brady have, you know, pooping problems in front of, you know, a live audience.
Al from Italy is writing in and has a suggestion for Stephen Ridley.
I get a suggestion for you, Al.
Web radio. Web radio at patriots.com. And Fred Kirsch has actually chimed in via email on this email.
From the GM box?
Yeah. Fred Kirsch has chimed in with his own email.
Nice.
To add on to this email from Al. Al writes, "Hi, it's Al from Italy. I have a solution for the Ridley situation. He should perform this drill. Give him the ball as soon as he arrives at the Patriots facility. He has to keep the ball with him always. Then all of a sudden, someone smashes his back with a baseball bat."
It didn't end the way I thought it was going to end.
"If he loses the ball, he must do 1,000 laps without shoes in the snow. After a week, put him in a game and we'll see. As always, less Andy, more Paul." And then Fred chimed in with, "Man, I'd love to read this one in an Italian accent."
Fred does like to do that. He's big with the accents.
Yes. So
slapped it with a baseball bat.
Thank you for the email, Al, as always. Fantastic. Some other emails coming in. And we have the over-under email of the week. Let's do some over-unders.
Nice.
From James. James says, "Hey, guys, I missed the primetime games." He's in Australia as well. "It's a 4 a.m. kickoff here. Thankfully, I have a PS4, which you got on Friday, so at least I have something to keep me awake as well as the usual coffee." Here's the quick over-unders. Brady, touchdown passes, 2.5.
Over.
I'm going to go over as
I'm
well.
I'm going to take the over there. Boyce. We had one email saying Boyce would have 8 catches for 130 yards. This is a more realistic voice email. 4.5 snaps and 0.5 offensive touches.
I'm going to take the over on both.
Does a kick return count as a snap? There's no snap.
No, that's not
a
snap.
I think he played 2 snaps the last game that he was.
I'm going to take the under on both, to be honest.
He was active.
Guys.
I'll take the over.
See, I'm going to take the over because I think the game's going to be a blowout, and I think he's going to get some reps.
Could Ryan Mallett play?
Yes.
Blunt. Back in his home state.
Right. LeGarrette Blount, Texarkana, Texas.
Not the Arkansas side.
Let's let's go for LeGarrette Blount. 0.5 touchdowns. So will he or will he not have a touchdown?
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say he rushes for 1.
I'm going to
say
the under.
Let's take the under on
the
that.
The hammer.
And this, will he or will he not have a 30-plus yard run?
Take the no on that.
Take the no on that.
I'll take the no.
Defense with a pick 6. Yes or no? 0.5.
No. I mean, how many can they have this year? They're really
going
to have another one?
That would be 7, I believe.
I mean, how many can you have?
Keenum's only thrown 2 picks this year, too.
All right.
FYI.
Good to know. He's cleaned that up.
Center chiming in.
He's cleaned that up. Thank you, Darren. Thanks for that stat. 855-PATS-500 is the Ace Ticket hotline. Let's go back out to the phones and actually go inside the press box.
We're stuck down here in the studio.
Boring.
For the latest from the field, let's go to the press box.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
Here's Eric Scalavino.
Eric, are you in the press box or the GM box? What is your setup in Houston today? We're going to hear about this.
We are in a booth that is reserved for the general manager of New England Patriots, which is located very close to the press box. But Fred Kirsch and I technically are not seated with the other members of the media. We have been sequestered by ourselves in a very private booth. That very much resembles the Red Level radio booth where we do our draft shows in April.
So are you sharing this booth with anyone, or is it just you and Fred with an intimate setting?
It's just me and Fred.
Interesting. So yeah. Nick Casario's not there yet. He'll be by later. Bill.
That'll be awkward.
Oh, there's only room for the two of you? There's no one else that's going to be in there?
Like I said, it looks just like the Red Level booth where we do the radio show. So there's like an upper deck and a little lower one, but there's only room for maybe 2 or 3 other people in here, at best. But at the moment, it's just us.
Okay.
Nice and cozy.
That's going to be awkward.
Because I was thinking, you know, once they got there, you guys would be making your way to the press box. if it was truly, you know, Casario, maybe
right.
Like, you know.
But he's in the coach's booth, so.
Yeah.
I didn't know if like John Robinson or, you know, any of the other scouts.
Well, John actually usually sits with us in the press box on road trips.
So we have scouts in the press box, and we have press in the scouts box.
Yeah.
Everything's backwards in Texas.
Yeah.
J-Rob.
J-Rob, is that what you call him?
That's not what I call him. That's what others call him.
Oh, okay. Eric, in terms of on-the-field issues, lot of sort of interesting stuff today. Not totally surprised. Mild surprise, but, you know.
I was a little surprised.
I think there was a chance. As I said last week, his career is petering out before our eyes, so this is the next step in that evolution.
What surprised me, though, was that you bring him.
Well, you got to just.
You're not going to play him.
But you got to just in case, because, you know, if the plane crashes and only the running backs get hurt or something, you got to field the team.
What seriously is wrong with
you? No, but I'm being serious. If you know.
I know you are. That's why I'm asking what's wrong with you.
Something happens in the running back room and you only have one healthy running back, then okay, you got to play him. So.
Much better way to.
I think you have to bring him.
In the first way.
And, but, you know, then you make the decisions as they sort of play out on game day. And so he's inactive. And, I don't have a problem with it.
And I think you probably had some game time decisions to make. And if they went the other way, to me, there was a chance that you had seven injured players inactive. Now it turned out that I think you only had four. I think the other three are probably healthy scratches.
Correct.
So, you know, if you had, you know, maybe you worked out Gregory and Tlaib and those guys couldn't go, then you're dealing with, well, how many healthy guys do we have here?
Right.
And really may have had to be active.
But they didn't work those guys out pregame. That's the thing. There were no game time decisions today.
Okay, well, there are other reports that indicated to the contrary. Some of the tweets said that Moses Cabrera was out there with a group of about seven guys.
But that's the usual group of rehab guys that come out and do the early stretching. That had nothing to do with game time decisions. That's the usual group that always comes out here every game. Those are not game time decisions.
All right, moving on to the guys that are making some of their debuts. Obviously, we have DJ Williams, Silver Seliga. You know, what do you expect in some of the lineup changes we may see this week as they obviously deal with an inability to stop the run last week and some injuries continue to be an issue?
Well, in the team 11-on-11 warm-up drill period, we had the usual 4-3 lineup that we see from this team with Jones and Ninko on the edge. The two rookies, Bolano and the other Jones, at tackle, with Gregory and McCourty as your safeties, and Tlaib and Arrington as your two corners. The three linebackers being Hightower, Spikes, and why is his name escaping me? The rookie,
Jamie Collins.
Jamie Collins, thank you. So that was the look we got with the ones. Going out there today. Backups, not much different. I didn't really see, well, Seliga was doing some earlier drill period warm-ups, but didn't really take any reps in that rotation.
So we're not going to unleash my Samoan package today on defense?
Well, I wouldn't say that because, as you know, a lot of times what we see in warm-ups doesn't translate to on the field.
I'd be throwing every Samoan I can get my hands on against the Texans today.
And you probably will see that. I would be surprised if we don't see Soparaga, Seliga, and all of those tackles, all of those interior guys rotating throughout the game. And even, you know, what we saw against the Jets back in October, where they had three defensive tackles and two ends. You might see that rotation personnel group and go out there again. I would not be surprised at all if that's what happened.
Any indication of sort of the health status of, you know, there's a bunch of guys playing in the secondary that were questionable with Tlaib and Arrington and Gregory. You know, is Gregory, I'm assuming Gregory's wearing his cast, and what about the other guys in terms of, you know, any limitations?
Yeah, Tlaib took, I think, one or two reps and then relinquished to Logan Ryan, just kind of sat out, went off to the side and took his helmet off and took a knee to watch the rest of the workout. Arrington stayed on the right corner. Ryan took over for him on the left. Gregory, he had a little something wrapped on that right hand. And as we've seen him doing practice the last couple of weeks.
So he's in a perpetual state of hitchhiking.
Yeah, exactly. And the troubling part is if their backups have to play. When you've got Nate Ebner and Tavon Wilson, and that's who was taking the second team reps. So
that's indeed troubling.
Yes. So you got to hope that Gregory can and McCourty can last the whole 60 minutes here.
All right, now the most important question, because obviously we are the world's largest tailgate of Patriots fans, and I'm hoping this week you got your ass out of bed and actually went to the large fan gathering at Diablo Loco and saw Miss Patriot Houston or whatever. How did that big bash go with the Houston fan club?
Freddie was there. I ended up having to meet. I met my high school football coach, who now works down here in Texas, and got to spend some quality time with him. He had a tragedy in the family a few weeks ago, and I hooked him up with some tickets to the game for him and one of his other sons. So I hadn't seen him in a long time, and was hoping that this weekend will help cheer him up a little bit. So, no, I didn't get to go to the Patriots event, but it looked like it was a rocking time. Jonathan Kraft made a surprise appearance, made everybody happy. So it was a good time.
So you didn't go, so you couldn't be Miss Houston Patriot.
Unfortunate.
No. That's too bad.
Sorry.
Yeah. All right, Eric, anything has swayed your opinion on today's game, or is it blowout City Patriots?
I've been a little nervous all week about this because of just the fact that history tells us, and I'm thinking back to Cleveland in 2010, I'm thinking back to Miami in 2004, I think, when Patriots come into a road game, riding high, great record against a team that's pulling apart, lousy record, and Patriots lay an egg and lose the game. I've had that concern all week, and you know, I still think the Patriots will win, but in the back of my mind, I have that fear that something terrible can happen, especially when I'm looking at this field and it is in atrocious condition. And I'm thinking back to 09, the last time we were here, and what happened then. So, yeah, part of me thinks that this could end up very ugly, but I'm still picking the Patriots to win.
All right, Eric. Well, enjoy the game in that GM box, and if you fart, blame it on Fred.
Okay.
All right, Eric, take care. Eric Scalavino joining us on the line from Houston inside the GM box at Reliance Stadium. I did want to touch on this. Want to get your guys' thoughts on this. How about Mike Tomlin the other night finding his
when
way
when he ran on the field, as you put it, in the tease before the commercial?
You know, I was exaggerating just a little bit. There's some indications that he will be fined, the organization or
he's
going to
be fined like your salary, six figures.
He will be fined potentially $100,000, which is what the New York Jets as an organization were fined when Sal Alossi did it in 2010. And Sal Alossi was on the sideline. He wasn't actually on the field.
He was in the bench area.
He wasn't even on the white.
I think this was much worse than that. And I thought that was despicable. I thought what the Jets did, because he intentionally put the knee out there to
well, one
to try
is an
to get
injury
him.
Issue more than the other. This
right.
one, I think he was
this
trying
one, he
to
was
prevent
trying
a play.
To prevent a play. Yeah. And yeah. I thought it was funny listening to Flacco, too. Did you hear his
yes.
comments?
He
was
he
like,
wanted,
you know,
wanted to pull a me.
He goes, he stole my move. He stole my thing. You know, that he was joking about yeah. famously on the Super Bowl video. And he said, if someone breaks it, I'm just going to go out there and tackle him. And I think Tomlin absolutely knew what he was doing, knew where he was. And, you know, how he didn't draw a flag for it is beyond me. But he's certainly drawing a lot of criticism for it, and he's going to get fined, I think, heavily.
And the health issue from his perspective is he has a 60-year-old man who that's his working space. You know, the side judge or whatever that official. Right. He runs down the field, especially on big plays. Those are the times when they actually have to run. And if Tomlin jumps out of the way, you know, I know it's probably a long shot, but he could bang heads with the guy and hurt a guy who's, you know, not exactly a football player in equipment.
Yeah, and I also didn't like the reaction. You know, the
right.
Yeah, you know, yeah, I got caught a little bit.
Oh,
shucks, yeah, I was
not.
You know, listen, you did something wrong. Just it fess up.
And as I said, I also thought it was interesting. Your guy Bertrand Wiggy said, and he played for Tomlin, or not for him, but in the same time in Minnesota, and said. Yeah. He's the kind of guy who does those types of things.
Oh, that you would think.
Yeah, always looking for a little advantage.
I did not hear
little,
those comments.
He definitely falls
Wiggins.
Under that umbrella of if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying kind of coach.
Well, do you think that hurts his standing on the competition committee? Because didn't he just get elected to it this year?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
But it should.
Nah,
if that's true,
they're
I think
cheating.
It should.
Some other NFL news today. Here's a good one. Trent Richardson being benched today in favor of Donald Brown.
Yep.
Good trade.
Like inactive?
No, they're just saying that he's going to be benched and he's probably not going to play very much.
Oh, I thought that happened weeks ago.
He is, but he's going to be benched in favor of Donald Brown, getting the start for the Colts today.
He hasn't earned it. As your boy Maserati said, wasn't he averaging like 14 inches a carry or whatever, however Tony broke it down?
Yeah, I think he did break it down to inches. And it's not a lot.
Not very productive, and yeah. I swung and missed on that one, just like the Browns did. I thought he was going to be a franchise back. I thought he was going to be phenomenal, a game breaker, and he stinks.
Just going through some of the NFL headlines, a lot of stuff being reported this morning, including we learned this week Richie Incognito struck a deal to get paid while being suspended, get some of his money. Now it appears that Joe Philbin is leaking this, that in 2012, after Richie Incognito was accused of harassing a volunteer at the Dolphins golf tournament, that Philbin wanted to release him at the time.
Right.
Right, of
course. Sure he did.
Of course that comes up after the fact. And then, oh, by the way, if Wes Welker scores a touchdown today, Broncos will have four guys on their team with 10 touchdowns apiece.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the amount of touchdowns, how they spread them around, too. Usually you get that one guy that has the huge year, but...
Manning's the point guard,
keeping
them all happy.
He screwed up a punt last week right here in Foxborough. So, congratulations.
Tony Carter took the fall. Had a terrible game.
2-9 Houston Texans today for the Patriots. I think we all think it's going to be a Patriots win.
Yeah. Blowed out.
Any final comments?
My final comment is we will see Ryan Mallett play today.
All right,
Ryan.
I think Andy's right. I think you're going to see Mallett get some
Mallett
snaps
to Boyce. Touchdown, Patriots.
That story combination from way back in August.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks to Darren Hartwell, Matt LePan, and, of course, Paul Perillo and Andy Hart. Thanks for listening, everybody. Right after the game ends, make sure you come back to Patriots.com, and we will have the post-game coverage for you, the Patriots post-game show presented by Xbox One. We'll hear from Bill Belichick. We'll hear from Tom Brady. Go inside the Patriots locker room. Get your calls. All of that's coming up after the game right here in the same place. So join us then. In the meantime, enjoy the game.
This has been the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Patriots square off with the Houston Texans.
Patriots tight formation. Quick hitter Brady with a play making it open. Aaron Dodson on the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio for the Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Two receivers left, two to the right. Brady on a deep drop looking to throw. He pumps in the pocket. He fires down the middle. A wide open Amendola. Touchdown, Patriots!
Log on to Patriots.com all week long for the latest news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you next week on the Dunkin' Donuts Patriots pregame social.